Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
It was my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today Jillian Morrissey. Welcome, Jillian.
I am so glad to be here.
Right. It's a island of calm.
It is.
I can only imagine what is happening over at the school district, the central office. Obviously, today is a day when many teachers are going back in to assess so that for those schools that will begin tomorrow, and this is part of what we're going to be talking about, they're getting ready to make that happen.
Yep.
So how about before we go to particulars, to the details of schools and so on, where were you at 8:29 a.m. on Friday morning when the earthquake struck?
It was really funny. I have a 9-year-old, and he doesn't stay home from school much. He really likes going to school. It's a very social event for him. And that morning he woke up and he's like, "Mom, I have a sore throat." And so if he says that, I'm like, huh, all right, well, I should probably consider that real. And so I said, that's okay, that's fine, bud. Like, I'll stay with you, and we'll give you a chance to see if in a couple hours you feel a little bit better and take you to school. So I was upstairs already ready for work, and I was making coffee, and it hit.
Wow.
And so I was home with my son, which was not a lot of people's experience. And
right.
I have to admit that has allowed me, since I've been doing so much of the initial emergency response with us with the district, having that touch. My husband was also home at the same time. We were all together. So that gave me an enormous amount of comfort to be able to move forward because I knew my house and my family were taken care of.
Rather than being at work and wondering what's happening there.
And being pulled, thinking about what's going on, because, I mean, that's so many people's experience. We had so many teachers, principals, staff, everyone who were taking care of other people's children, wondering how their own were.
Sure. So then you did leave your husband and child.
Pretty quickly. I basically said, "You got this?" And my husband's like, "I got this." And so off I went and tried to get to the office as quickly as possible so that we could start to get the full assessment of where we were in the district and where people were and get messaging out to parents that they could reunify with their kids.
And I know since we were here at the station when the earthquake struck at 8:29 a.m., we were able to continue broadcasting and shared information. And what we did was look about for all the sources. Fortunately, in this event, both the internet and cell phones were all up, so we got a lot of call-ins. We were able to have three people here that did all that. There you are. You arrived there. Describe perhaps a little bit how that whole process went, that you gathered information enough so that you could then put it out and share with parents.
So this is where I get to give a shout-out to our IT department, because I have great tools. Because we still had cell phone and internet connectivity throughout this, we use an app through the district leadership called Crisis Go, and that allows us to be able to communicate instantaneously with the group of people that make decisions and communicate out. And so as soon as it hit that, the first thing I did is send out a message to folks and say, we need to start checking in because here we go.
Right.
So through that allows us to be able to gauge sort of initial response stuff. Did we, you know, getting status updates from schools? We have supervisors for principals, and so they're just starting to check with their schools. How are you doing? What's happening? And so that allows us to be able to get a very quick, like, pulse on where things were. And then we all huddled at the district office as fast as we could and started getting just that next layer of information. And in the meantime, we had already had out on the website, we had frozen all of our headlines and put one message up that said, parents can be with their children. They can pick up their children whenever they are able, but otherwise we've got them and they're warm and safe. So okay. No worries. Don't panic. Like, we've got them.
There were some schools, for example, Palmer High School, there was a fire alarm that went off.
That's right.
Students went out. But mm-hmm. as I understood, we picked up very quickly, both from parents and other sources, district, that they went over to the Mormon church. Was that correct?
They do. So what they did, they actually enacted their protocol for fire evacuation.
Okay.
So they were running a drill they know already, which is great. And the principal had, you know, made that decision, and it was clearly communicated, and they've practiced that before. So what happened is there wasn't a fire. The quake set off the fire alarms.
Ah, got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what emerged in, from the information. So we were careful to just say what we could confirm and not anything that was speculative.
That's right. And Palmer High is one of the schools that is has a Wednesday start right now for staff.
Okay.
And Thursday they'll be opening their doors for students.
And there were, and of course now people have looked back, and we've looked at Houston Middle School in particular as a heavily damaged, probably not going to be opening this year or maybe even next year. Yeah. And, so those students, when they left that school, where did they go?
So they also enacted their evacuation protocol. We have all this stuff written down. I mean, it's not just a haphazard thing. The reason why we do drills with our students throughout the year, and we do them at the beginning of the year, is because anything like this could happen at any time. So they all evacuated to Houston High School.
Got it. And I know in talking to teachers that they were, as many were teaching at that time, students practiced immediately the proper protocol in an earthquake.
Something that the superintendent, Dr. Goyette, was at the joint press conference at the borough meeting the other night. And what she is talking about is our staff, our teachers, principals are amazing. They practice stuff. They know what they're doing. And they enacted it as soon as it was happening. The other thing that she's talking about are our student heroes. And, you know, we have security footage in the buildings. And so we had folks going through that security footage. We have countless stories, like just from watching students take care of one another. And for the students that, you know, panicked or, you know, were really scared and couldn't think of what to do, other students looking at them in the eye and saying, get under your desk.
Right.
Or pulling them down under their desk. And so that's just something that it's not only our staff, it's our students that are heroes throughout this. And that's why we had minor injuries. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an amazing thing.
It's amazing.
Given the extent and intensity of the earthquake itself. So you also have mentioned that you put up on the website an immediate direction that gave parents an idea of what to do. What about individual schools, et cetera, and parents? I can imagine if I were a parent with a student in a school, and if I didn't have immediately access to the website, what would I try to do, and what kind of way would the district be able to give information?
That's a great question. So in this day and age, there are a lot of ways and platforms that we communicate on. And so the website is a first start. Facebook was updated immediately also. That was viral. I mean, I think it got 500 shares over the next 2 hours. I mean, people were just pushing it out as fast as possible. And that also connects to our Twitter feed. So the other way that we have is the district has a tool called Blackboard's Mass Notification. What mass notification allows us to do is be able to speak directly to our families and community. Many of you have probably received texts and phone calls and emails and app push notifications. Some will come directly from the district that go district-wide. Some can be targeted directly to that particular school community. So many of our schools, as soon as they were able to, were getting into that system and having a more my message is really general. Their message is going to be more specific about what the protocol is going to be or the practice is going to be for picking up the students on that day.
So given the time when this struck on Friday, let's talk a little bit about buses.
Mm-hmm.
I think most buses would have delivered students. Were there any that were on the way still?
Absolutely. So that was since it's our elementary students don't start until 9:15.
Right.
So we had elementary students in buses in front of the school when this hit. And so for some of our elementary students, those students weren't in the schools unless they were there for a morning activity or something like that. So their experience was not being inside the school when it hit. They were in a bus.
Okay.
Many of them. Or in their parents' cars.
Right. And so if they were in the bus and the earthquake struck and the first wave ended, what happened to them?
We kept them on the bus.
Kept them on the bus.
Because we can keep them warm on the bus.
Sure.
So that was, we had, if there were students that, if they were being dropped off by families, we needed a place for them. But the buses are, an additional area that we can put the students. For schools that the principals didn't think were safe to enter, they found alternate locations, like portables that were outside of the school that they could fit the rest of the children that were left.
Okay.
Many parents, since they were there when it happened, just turned around and went home.
Got it.
So we didn't have the full population of the elementary students at the schools.
So as the day progressed and at all of the schools and parents began coming and picking up their kids, did the buses have another role in terms of taking students away, and how did that work?
So once we had to figure out every school, we had to know the status, what was going on. What was important for us is to not put kids on buses and send them home, because we don't know what they were coming home to. And so we needed it to be, when parents drop off their children at school or the bus picks them up, they know that we are basically saying, we got them, right? Like that's the handoff there. So likewise on the backside, we want to make sure after an incident as significant as this, that we are handing the students back to their families. And the reason for this is because, we knew at this time that there could be gas leaks at the home. The house could be, flooding with water. And what if it's a 13-year-old coming home? Do they know how to shut off the water? Do they know how to turn off the gas main line? So we didn't feel comfortable just putting students back on buses for fear that their home may not be a safe place, where the school, we could designate a safe area for them until a parent came or a guardian came to pick them up.
Yeah, a lot of decisions in there.
Yeah. Well, it's so easy working for a mission-driven organization. It's to prepare all students for success. So that's even in situations like this, the best chance for success for kids is to make sure that they're always – we have the best, safest place for them possible, and that's our priority. So it's easy to make those decisions when we know what our mission is.
Okay. Well, Jillian Morrissey, I want to thank you for giving the overview of what happened in the early times as we face this on Friday. Let's switch over now, segue to the situation as we're talking on Wednesday, and we're looking at 40-some-odd schools.
Moving ahead, yep.
And one of which is not going to be reoccupied. We know the majority are being occupied tomorrow with students, majority of schools, and
yet
there are a few that have red letters.
You got it.
Okay. Talk a little bit about that and which ones might be that they are.
So one of the thing that you're talking about is we have an ongoing list that we update daily right now with the status of schools. And so if anyone has not heard about this and is interested in seeing the full list of schools, we set up a web page, matsuk12.us/earthquake, which is kind of a one-stop shop for all the earthquake information. So the list that you're talking about with the red letters for some schools. So what we have decided to do is that so our facility staff has been working around the clock. They have not stopped since this hit. So they went to work on Friday morning like a regular day, and many of them have not stopped since then. We realized it was important that to clear as many schools as possible if they were fine to reoccupy. And so it wasn't that we were in a rush. We just knew that there were some schools that were okay. And so it was important to get those open. And so our custodial staff has also been working still in the schools that were safe to occupy. But what we needed them to do is focus on common areas and other places and working on just reordering things. But we knew that we needed the staff to have a day before students to put back their classrooms, because if we had custodial staff restacking books, that wouldn't be a good – it's not a good effective use of their time for anybody.
Right.
So teachers that are in the schools that can go back today have the opportunity to reorder their classroom, get rid of things that were damaged, if a glass of water spilled on them or a pot like a potted plant fell on them. They just have the opportunity to tidy and reorder and get themselves centered and ready for students. With the students, and I also want to mention that we had many schools that have been open since Monday, though. So all of our Northern Valley schools, they have all been open, and likewise for Glacier View, because they did not experience the same intensity with the earthquake. So they have been chugging along and back at school ever since Monday. So we have many students that have been in school this week. I think one of the things that we realize is that going back to school for many is going to be pretty nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. It was a really scary experience for a lot of people, and we are still having strong aftershocks. I mean, the one this morning was strong. We're still having some 4-point somethings. So one of the things the district leadership has looked at is that, you know, a lot of this time back at school, it's not about hitting academics right away.
Right.
We need to do that social emotional learning part and letting kids debrief.
Exactly.
And debrief with each other, debrief with their teachers, and just have the opportunity to get comfortable being back in that space.
Now, also along with this, of course, all of the after-school activities were
stopped.
And then that's got to be to recover
difficult.
From that. I don't even want to reschedule because this involves, of course, Anchorage and the Mat-Su. It's just incredible, I would think. And
yep.
I'm guessing some people are beginning to think about that, but it's still going to be a while before it can be put back into what
we are
call it normal
on
order.
It. And it's not going to look normal. I mean, there are some facilities that are no longer going to be able to host events for a little while. And so our instruction staff has been working with our athletic directors and looking at all of the things. And so we are trying to find new spaces. We're looking at, you know, a lot of community organizations use our facilities, and we're looking at how to prioritize our school events in order to be able to, you know, get everybody back into sports, get them back into the tournaments that they still have to play. Basketball had just started. So we're working really hard at trying to figure out, and principals at other schools are offering up their spaces to schools that aren't open. Everyone's pitching in. And that's something that I love, is everyone's problem solving, like, hey, we have an extra gym. We're not using it. Let's get that group over here. Likewise for all the Christmas concerts that have been canceled and the plays that have been interrupted and everything else that's been going on. Everything has been disrupted by this.
Going forward, we've talked about the past. We've talked about the present circumstance. Going forward, what can people expect? We've sort of begun that by saying, as people are working to bring the activities and other pieces of normal life with schools back into play. But we know that students will be back on Thursday for most schools.
About 2/3 of them.
Yeah, and there's still a few that won't be. What I see is a kind of a staggered situation where, as you pointed out, we have northern schools
that have been in.
Along.
Yep.
So how does this affect the school calendar in terms of...
Oh, that's a great question.
I mean, that's, to me, you know, it's hard enough when we have a snow day or two or three or beyond what's projected.
Right.
And then we roll into something of this sort. That's got to be a thing that is going to require perhaps some discussion with the state or any discussion on that that you can share.
Absolutely. So Commissioner Michael Johnson, who is remaining with the Dunleavy
administration.
With the governor, yes. Yeah. Commissioner Johnson has actually been on site with us. Oh. And so he was in district office on Monday, and he has told Anchorage School District and also the MATSU that he's waiving the school closure days. So this doesn't affect graduation dates. This doesn't affect the end of school. They basically realize this is one of those situations. It's just out of our hands. And they recognize that this is something they could do for our district and take that burden off.
Ah, okay.
Which is great news.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mike Malevsky and I have been talking with Jillian Morrissey, who represents the face of, or the voice of, the school district in sharing information. And I'm wanting you to once again perhaps remind people who are listening where's the best place to go for ongoing information about other schools that are going to be opening or any other detail related to this?
So we have set up a website, and it's off of our main page. You can find it really easily. Visit www.matsuk12.us/earthquake. And if you can't remember the /earthquakepark, just put in matsuk12.us and the headline is going to connect you directly to that page. And so on that page, we have a video talk with the superintendent where she's talking directly to families. We're going to do another one today with updated information. There's the ongoing list of school status and school openings. So folks can check there periodically. I update that daily right now. I get a report from facilities every day on what's happening. One thing that I can say right now for families, if your school is not open for staff today and kids tomorrow, you won't be going to school this week. That's just something to help people start planning for that. So the next school days that would be a Monday staff open day and a Tuesday start for students.
Got it. Okay. Have we missed anything?
I think there's a few things I just want to share with people. There's three things I've been thinking about this morning. There's excitement for families that are going back to school. This is, like I said, this has been so disruptive. And for families that parents work, what do you do with your students that are not in school? They don't have activities even because we've had to cancel. So getting back to school and back to routine is exciting for many families. And it's the majority of our families that are going back. Nervousness. We have a lot of families and parents, teachers, staff, who are all concerned about the trauma that some of us may be experiencing from this event. And I want folks to know we have resources to support our students and our staff through that. We have school counselors, we have school psychologists that can be supportive for our families. Many of our schools have been trauma-informed, trained, and are going to be focusing on making sure that students and staff have the opportunity to talk about that. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about is unmet needs. And for many of our families are going to be unmet for a while. So many students, when they left the schools, left backpacks, left winter jackets, left cell phones, and are looking to retrieve those items. For some students, like Houston Middle, it is still absolutely undetermined how we're going to make that happen. With these aftershocks, that school is unsafe to occupy and is dangerous. So we're looking at we are trying to find a way to answer those questions as soon as possible, but we just know that for right now, you have some unmet needs and that we know how difficult that is, and just know that we're working on it and trying to find an answer as soon as possible.
Okay. Thank you, Jillian Morrissey, for coming in and sharing that. We hope you are able to have something more of a normal life. I know that you've been busy for the last few days as we move forward and recover.
I'm happy to serve this community in this way. Thanks, Mike, for asking the good questions.
All right. Take care.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Mat-Su schools. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.